There's another hadith which is on Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, that the Prophet ﷺ went by him and he was doing the shahada. He was making the prayer and he was wiggling two fingers. And the Prophet said to him, Ahad, Ahad. Do with one, do with one. The idea of the shahada, it does not only have the idea of the inner belief, but even the outward form of our doing the shahada, it has the idea of the tawheed. Doing it with only one finger, it just makes sense. You don't do it with two fingers, you do it with one finger. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ even taught to his companions. There's another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, there's actually quite a few hadiths where the Sahaba mentioned where the Prophet ﷺ was calling to the Tawheed Allah, which is mentioned, for instance, in Tirmidhi, where and also in Ahmed and other hadiths, where Jabir alayhi salam, Jabir, the Sahaba of the Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish those people min ahl al-tawheed, the people of tawheed, in the hellfire, until they will become like they are pieces of coal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send the rahmah, or the mercy to them, because they were the people of Ahl al-Tawheed. And then by the shafa'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will take them out of the hellfire and bring them into the paradise. This is the idea which is mentioned in many of the hadith, that the people who practice the Tawheed, that they will have the shafa'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He will only punish them for their sins that were done of the category which do not include shirk. Because if someone has done any form of shirk, then this shafa'ah will not be reached to him. And this is something that we mention over and over again, because there's many of the people, they believe that this shafa'ah, it reaches to the people, even to the people who do shirk, even to the person who will call out to the saints who will be in the graves, or they call out to the Prophet ﷺ. And there's a common thing where they say, Ya Rasulullah, and they call out to the Prophet ﷺ that, please forgive me, O Prophet of Allah. And this is the idea that here they are calling on the Prophet to do something that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. And so they're actually making him into a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that he gives sustenance, or he gives health, or he gives forgiveness, or he can allow me to have some kind of benefit, or turn away some kind of harm from me. And this is the point where this hadith has mentioned specifically, where that these people who will have the shafa'ah, they reach them, they will be the people of Ahl al-Tawheed. And it's actually mentioned, the word Tawheed, in the hadith. This is the point that I wanted to mention, because as I said, there are some people, they say that we don't find this word Tawheed in the Quran and the Sunnah. Where I said, subhanAllah, it's because you have not really looked into the Quran and Sunnah that you say that you do not find this word. There's also the hadith of Jabir, which is a long hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ, when he went for the Hajj, who ahallu bitawheed, labbaik allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka, labbaik innal hamdu wa ni'ma laka wal mulk la sharika lak, where he says that verily when the Prophet ﷺ used to go for Hajj, then he would make the tahleel, and he would start by saying bit tawheed. Then he explains what is the tawheed. And when anyone who has gone for Hajj, it's the saying of labbaik allahumma labbaik. And what does this word labbaik mean? It means that I have accepted, I have answered your call, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is someone that you say over and over again, I've answered the call, I've accepted, I am your servant of Allah, O Allah. And that I am your servant, and I'm a servant to you, and there's no partner to you. And verily, the praises and the blessings and the power and the glory and the government is all for you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of the Tawheed that is mentioned. There's many other kind of hadiths, as I said, which actually mention this word, Yuwahhid Allah, or Tawheed itself. The point that there's a this point of that where we say that the negative aspect and the positive aspect, or the two pillars of Islam, the pillars of the Tawheed, as I said, this is the idea of a kufr bil-taghut wal iman billah. And it can come in the expression of worship Allah and do not worship anything but Allah, and do kufr of the taghut wal iman billah. And this word taghut is an important word to understand, because the taghut that is mentioned, where Allah says that He has sent into every nation a messenger, and اِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, to worship Allah and stay away from the taghut. The word taghut has many comprehensive meanings. Many people know who Allah is, because by the fact that you're created, you know who your creator is. You may deny Him later on, but as the hadith says, that everyone who is born, he is born on the fitrah, he is born on the natural inclination to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is his parents that make him into be a Jew or a Christian or a Majus. So everyone knows Allah, but what is this idea of taghut? As it is said in the Quran, that the taghut can have many meanings, and it is the taghut where you worship anything other than Allah. But does it include someone like Jesus, who is worshipped other than Allah? Because of course the Christians, they worship Jesus, but he is not a taghut, because the condition of being a taghut is that someone has to either be quiet like an idol that does not say anything, as Abraham said that about these idols, that when he went and he smashed all these idols, and he said to the people that if you worship these and you want to know what happened to them, how they get smashed, and ask them. But since they were all quiet, they could not deny the worship. And these stones that are cut and carved by the people, they did not ask to be worshipped, but they are worshipped other than Allah. So they did not have the power to speak and deny that. Whereas Jesus alayhi salam, he rebuked the people who worshipped him. But if someone, he did not rebuke them, and he allowed himself to be worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the idea of a taghut. As it says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَارَ إِلَذِينَ يَزَعْمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أُنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلَكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى التَّاغُوتِ وَكَدْ أُمُرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ وَكَدْ أُمُرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. And have you not seen those who claim to be Muslim, to claim to believe, of those who are among you and those who have come before you, and yet they go and they want to take their judgments to the taghut. They want to take their judgments to have the taghut judge for them. And they have been ordered to disbelieve and to deny the taghut. This verse is related in many of the tafsir books, where it's mentioned that this specifically was an incident where some of the people among the Muslims who had the quality of hypocrisy, and some of the Jews, they had an argument, and they went, instead of going to the Prophet, peace be upon him, they went and they sought the judgment of Ka'b bin Ashraf. And that he was the taghut that was mentioned in this context, because they knew that he would not judge according to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And this is the idea, that someone who does not judge according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, then he becomes the taghut. And he is the one who knowingly does not judge and does not govern and does not make the judgment according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. And the message, of course, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by the very fact that he is ruling by other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, he becomes that these people worship him. And this is what was mentioned in the first session, when in the hadith of Idi bin Hatim, when he said that these are the people that legislate other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, and they make what is halal, lawful, to be haram, unlawful. And they make that which is unlawful, haram, to become halal. And that, and then the people, they follow them. And that becomes the form of worship of them. Because they have made themselves into be a legislator. Just like a person who would come and says that I forgive sins. and the people will go and they will kiss his hand and they'll believe that he is the one, that if he says that you're forgiven, that you will be forgiven. This is often done in the Christian religion, where the Pope, he used to write what was the forgiveness of sins to the people, who used to give a certain amount of money to the church or so on. And he would actually try to say that, okay son, your sins are forgiven. Or they to believe that he has any other power, that actually a power which he does not have. And this are some of the forms where someone can actually put some person up to be in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone might not even know that he is becoming a taghut. He may not even have the knowledge that he is becoming a taghut, and he would deny it, and he'd give you 1,000 denials that I'm not a taghut. But nevertheless, by some of those actions that he is doing, he is becoming and doing the act of a taghut. And that's why the idea that someone should know what this taghut is, because it is one of the conditions of doing the tawheed. That Allah says that you must do the kufr taghut in order to do the ibadat Allah. And to do the ibadat Allah, you have to stay away from all forms of the taghut. In the taghut, it can be the taghut of the ibadah, where you worship someone like an idol, because as Bukhari has mentioned, the chapter of staying away from the tawaghit, and he mentions that there was the taghut of the tribe of Dos, the taghiyat al-Dos, which was the various idol of those people, and so on and so forth, that each tribe had its own idol. But it also can be a leader among them who they follow, like Ka'b bin Ashraf, where he was the leader and he would lead them astray to other than Allah's religion, which is the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and following the legislated forms of worship and the legislated forms of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone worships, someone legislates other than that, then he becomes a form of the taghut. I want to talk also today, I wanted to talk about the Surah Al-Fatiha. Because the Surah Al-Fatiha has a certain, it has built into it tawheed, and built into it the idea of worshipping Allah and not worshipping other than Allah. And it is also one of the most important, as we know, everyone has to read the Fatiha in order for his salah to be accepted. And the Surah Al-Fatiha contains tawheed all throughout it, in every verse. Just like the Surah Al-Ikhlas contains tawheed in every manner. It also contains the idea of the Shahada. The Shahada that there is no one to be worshipped except for Allah. And in the four points of the idea of having the knowledge, and also in having the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having the continual proclamation of that knowledge, and also the action of fulfilling that in the deeds. There's the hadith which is very famous about Surah Al-Ikhlas. It mentions that Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, is one-third of the Qur'an. One-third of the Qur'an. So the natural question becomes, if Surah Al-Ikhlas is one-third of the Qur'an, then what is this reality of Surah Al-Ikhlas, that all of one-third of the Qur'an is within Surah Al-Ikhlas? And what are the other two aspects of the Qur'an? Surah Al-Ikhlas, of course, is Tawheed, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, the idea that Allah is one. And the other aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the other aspect of the Qur'an, is that it's an order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, you have the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one. And then the other thing that we have in the Qur'an is the order, to order us to worship only Allah. Because the Qur'an, throughout the entire Qur'an, Allah says, in اعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. And the third point is, what is the reward of those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we look at the Fatiha, we realize that this is exactly the blueprint of the Fatiha, in the most simplest sense, that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. This is telling us who Allah is. It's giving us the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of the Tawheed. Just like Surah Al-Ikhlas is telling us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving us the basic message of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then the verse was, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. These verses contain the idea of that you worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then you only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you make Him you worship Him only, and you make Him your Lord only. Not only do you worship Him and have your worship go to Him, but you seek only His aid, because you know that only He is the Lord and the Sustainer. And only He can guide you. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And of course, then, after you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and that you are worshipping Him, then there is the reward, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Adhina, أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then it tells that this is the reward of those who have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, the idea of إِيَّاك means, it also has the idea which I mentioned previously, the exclusiveness. The idea that you worship Allah and you worship no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You exclude the worship of all else except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it gives the category at the end of the Fatiha, غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. And this is the example of those who worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have either they do that through ignorance, or they do that through disobedience, even though they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who only should be worshipped. This three categories, the fact of knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and then having the order to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the division of the people according to their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the blueprint of the entire Quran. There's the one verse in the Quran which sums up this entire idea, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبِّبَكُمْ اللَّهِ وَيَكْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. This one short verse gives the same idea in a very succinct form. That it's a conditional verse though. If you love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. The same thing when we say that verily, if you love Allah, and when you say that Allah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, you are giving the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the traits of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and proclaiming your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what is the consequences, and what is the actual way of that? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. It is the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the Surat al-Mustaqim is the Surat which the Prophet ﷺ taught. There's no other way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for the Surat which he came and he taught. And this is the idea of اتبعوني, then follow me, follow the Prophet. And then if you love Allah, and then you take that love of Allah and put it in the form of following the Prophet ﷺ, then the result of that is يُحِبِّبُكُمْ Allah. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكَ ذُنُوبُكُمْ, and forgive you your sins. And it's just like the idea that you know Allah, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then that takes the form of only worshipping Allah, and only seeking His sustenance, and following the Surat al-Mustaqim which He has sent, which is the way of the Prophet. And then the result of that is that you will be the ones that Allah has blessed. And you will not be of the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His anger has been upon, nor the ones who have gone astray. This blueprint is so simple, and yet it contains the exact same thing which I said about the Shahada. These are all very, very general concepts which I wanted to talk about, because it's the most general thing, but it's the most important thing. And of course, when we mention these, we remind ourselves of these general categories and increase the iman, inshallah ta'ala, by the remembrance of that which brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact where someone says La ilaha illallah, and he says before that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, of course it has to contain, as I said, the knowledge of that shahada, and then after that knowledge it has to be put into practice. The same thing where someone, when he says that if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me. And that following is actually the aspect of the action which someone continues to act out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاعْتَبُؤُونِي, the idea of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the same thing where, you know, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, a similar idea of the idea of a path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us, which this is the path which will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this even more, where it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ صَلَاتِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْن وَلَعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. It says that I have made my prayer or my salat two parts between me and my slave, and for my slave that which he asks. قَسَمْتُ صَلَاتِي, which he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the Fatiha as-salat. Because why? Because it is a form of prayer. It's a form of dua. That's why at the end we say, Ameen. O Allah, accept our prayer. And that's why it is the first and the most greatest of the surah of the Qur'an. It's where it says, I have made the prayer between me and my slave two parts. So if my slave says, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, my slave has given me praises. And if he says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave has repeated the praises, Athna alayhi abdi. Athna, we need to sing the praises over again, to do it twice. And then if he says Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, he says that in a Majadni abdi, that my slave has glorified me. These three things, of course, for Allah. Because these are things, you know, as Allah said, that I have made my prayer between me and my slave. And so if he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, then these things are for Allah. They are the praise of Allah, and the repeating of the praise of Allah, and the glorification of Allah. And then when the slave says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هذا بيني وبيني عبدي ولا عبدي ما سأل. And this is between me and my slave. And what is mentioned, that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a section of this verse which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That for me is the worship. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this is for my slave. Because the slave, he is the one who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the aun, for the aid, for the sustenance, for the guidance. The rest of the surah is containing guidance and the ni'mah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down to his worshipper. And then when the slave says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is for my slave, and for my slave that which he asks. This, in the Fatiha, and also in the verse which I mentioned, the surah, the verse of Muhabba, which it says, if you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. This is the same blueprint that we have, where it starts with the praise of Allah, and then the obeying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when you take the praise of Allah and the love of Allah, and then you add it to the action where you are actually worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the way of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala has made and legislated for you, then you will get the actual result, which is the ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is repeated over and over in the Quran. The same blueprint, the same form. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. A very small verse. Huge in the meaning. If you believe and do good deeds, you will have the blessing, the blessed paradise. Simple. As I say, that this concept is so simple and yet so crucial. Because if it's such a simple concept, that it is a concept that every Muslim should know. It's contained in the Fatiha. It's contained in many of the verses of the Quran. And it's contained in the Shahada itself. That the idea of knowledge should lead to action. And the idea of action with the knowledge, because action without knowledge does not have any value, because it can be misled action. And that's why the Imam Bukhari, he has his chapter in his book where he says, in the chapter of knowledge before deed, before deeds, that if you put these two combination together, then you will get the reward, which will be the ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Allah. And the biggest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will enter someone into the paradise. But of course, when I mention the verse of Muhabba, it is not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter into the paradise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يُحَبِّبُكُمْ Allah. Allah will love you and He will forgive you your sins. And if someone has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is loving him in this life, even before the hereafter. These are some of the ideas that, inshallah, I wanted to mention today. And I'll close now and open the session to any kind of questions that the brothers or the sisters will have.